Oh, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to episode 802, live from New York. It's FRL. I'm your host, Christian Biles, joined today here at Madison Square Garden by James Dean Rader and via satellite. Always wanted to say that, even though it's not really. Ben Funky Askren.
You don't know how my connection's getting from me to you.
This could be, you know, big time Ben. He could have his own satellite for all we know. He could have been on the ground floor of satellite communication.
Well, Christian, it's got to be a satellite because there's no way there's a wire taking your feed to my feed instantaneously.
It's possible, though. It's possible.
That's how the internet works.
That's how the internet works.
No, it might send a signal. We don't know. How do you know that?
You're right. I'll look into it. Ben, yesterday,
what Elon Musk is doing.
Right. Yesterday, Ben, you complained that you got cut off because of our internet issues and Holiday Inn. So why don't you pick up where you left off? Where were you fired up to talk about that we didn't get
to? I was going to start talking about juniors. We obviously didn't get to talk about the juniors at all. And that was, I was there, watched almost all the matches. That was a lot of fun. So I think, we could probably run through all the juniors because it kind of sucks that they went Final X, juniors. U23s is kind of not as fun, never is. And then Final X again, because they packed these into such a tight time window that's like, it's going to kind of be a challenge for us to talk about them all. And then obviously once they're over, then there's kind of nothing really on the other side of it.
Yeah, it's highly annoying is how I would describe it. I obviously was traveling back from Final X and didn't get to see all the juniors. I did see the series I think most people were hoping would happen, and it delivered, in my opinion. Nick Bouzakis versus Jesse Mendez. And watching it, I thought Jesse would win going in based on his senior level performances. The fact that he was a point away from teching the guy who just made the team and beat Dayton Fix, Seth Gross. Yeah. So it's like, he's good. And I think we all think Nick Bouzakis is pretty good, but I think the momentum that Jesse seemingly had was going to be too much. And Bouzakis, he kind of got that dog in him too.
Well, I'll tell you, so I thought Jesse was going to win. And then I was even more convinced after the first one, because I don't know if you watched the match, but there's an initial sequence and Bouzakis gets a two and a four, a two on a correct throw. He thought he was going to bomb Mendez, and Mendez was able to avoid danger and kind of land back on his knees. And then he threw him again after that. But so it was 6-0. And then Mendez scored 14 straight points. And so you're like, oh, okay, that's what this is going to look like. It's like Bouzakis had one good sequence and then Mendez pretty much ran over him the rest of the match. And then matches 2 and 3, well, score-wise, they may look like discrepancies. They were both very tight until sequence, right? I think they're both leg laces, right? So they were both tight. And then Bouzakis locked up a leg lace and I believe scored 8 points on each one, I think it was.
Well, when Bouzakis, it was kind of a classic wrestling matchup where you've got, Jesse wants to operate from space. He wants to kind of sting from a distance. And Bouzakis is going to be best getting his hands on you, pulling you around, getting to the body. Yep. And he was ultimately able to get to the body late in the third match. And when he got that takedown, I think he might have got a four off it. Then he transitioned to his parterre offense, which is really good as well. And to see him able to assert his will and implement his style against someone as good as Jesse. If you're an Ohio State fan, honestly, for me, that was like a best case scenario outcome because I think everyone knows Jesse is going to be the real deal, right? With Bouzakis, it's like, it's this really physical, strong guy. Is he going to be like a super, superstar at the next level? And of course, we don't know that for either of them. But I just think it's good evidence to like the competitive nature, the evolution for Nick Bouzakis, as I think a lot of people probably wrote him off in this match. I bet if you polled people that were familiar with both going in, it would probably have been like 70-30 Mendez to Bouzakis.
Yeah, that's fair. And I guess also with Bouzakis, he also has a good Greco background, but he was able to score on a leg attack in, I believe, matches 2 and match 3. So I was kind of surprised by that. I thought if he was going to beat Mendez, it would be shut him down and maybe get to something upper body wise. off of Jesse's shots, and he did get the upper body stuff, but he also scored with leg attack. So I was pretty impressed by that. Yeah, and again, going in, I thought Mendez was going to win, and then after match one, I was even more certain of it because it went, you know, it went one sequence and then went 14-0 Jesse. I'm like, oh, this is over, you know. I mean, one other thing to mention, and I went and looked back, and I don't think it's a factor, but just we talk about Jesse did wrestle the tournament. Now, I believe his combined matches were 7 minutes of wrestling prior to that final series of three. But he was in the gym all day and kind of warming up. And so I don't know if that had a factor, but it probably made a tiny bit of difference, maybe.
Yeah, where I thought it clearly made a difference was like the Carter Young-Vince Quinella match, where Carter Young came out strong in match one and clearly faded in matches two and three.
Yeah, because he had a bit. I want to say he had some tough matches. Up in the tournament, because I remember sitting and watching a few of them. And Carter Young had a couple battles. And yeah, you know, especially by the time that fourth match, just to say Jesse had, you know, Jesse's first match against Nick was that fourth match, and he did get his earlier matches done. So I don't know that they were a huge factor, but some of the other guys, you know, once you get to match five and you know, when that match is going three matches and you've already had three or four matches, like, dude, that's tough. It's tough. I'm going to look at Carter Young. I think he had four matches.
You know who doesn't give a rip about going through the freaking challenge tournament and winning a two out of three? Jory Volk.
Yeah.
This dude.
He did.
He's a maniac.
The run he went on was insane, too. He went
through, I don't know, the Wada.
He's a Valiant Prep guy.
So I don't know him. But then he beats Robbie Howard 10-3. He beats Nate Jesseroga 4-3. He beats Cooper Flynn 5-2. And then he takes on.
That was just after Cooper Flynn had just beaten Richie Figgs, too.
Yes, Figueroa was in this bracket. Someone else pretty good in the bracket alone. Gonzalez from Ohio State. And then he takes out Spratly, who looked lights out at the Open.
Mm-hmm. Like,
and he beats him in two straight, right? Am I remembering this?
Yeah, I think one of me can't. No, he beat him. It was a three.
That one went to three.
That one went to three. So you say third match. That's right. Yeah, 5-5 win for Folk.
On Carter Young, he got a tech fall in the first round, but then he got decision over Jackson Arrington, decision over Tegan Jameson, decision over Ryan Jack. So he had three matches go the distance going into the finals. So that would be a great example of someone who like was had done a disservice by wrestling through the tournament.
Well, yeah, maybe that's it. I mean,
the other guy earned it, obviously. Vince Cornell earned it by winning the Open. There's no doubt about that, but to not acknowledge that. I mean, when a guy like Jesse Mendez wrestling 7 minutes, probably not a huge deal, but now Carter Young's wrestling like 21 minutes before the final series even starts. That is a factor.
Ben doesn't want to talk about Jory Volk, so we'll move on.
Okay, no, let's go back to that. I want
no,
to
you don't have Carter to.
No, Volk is super impressive because he's a guy. He's a Minnesota guy, right? So usually I see these guys. And I didn't think he was this good. I always knew he was good, but like, you know, when you look at, hey, this bracket had Robbie Howard in it, it had Richie Figgs in it. Like, no,
Gary Steen.
Gary Steen. I didn't see it coming. Not at all.
He's been on the national, I said it during the broadcast, he's been on the kind of the national level scene basically his entire high school career, but he's always been like a, you know, at these tournaments, a 6-3 finisher that type
everywhere
of range. But then he had a very good U.S. Open, so I didn't think he was going to run the gauntlet in this bracket, especially having to go through the bracket like he did. But I was a little woke on watch out for this kid. Cowboys getting a good one.
Yeah.
So Wyoming, what about Cowboys?
I mean the other story, that because it's something we always talk about, but you know, Robbie Howard, someone that he's done with the second year at Penn State, and you know, he was a three-time Cadet World team member, and now he's losing in the quarterfinal. He did default out after, but he's losing in the quarterfinal.
He hurt his arm really bad
in that match.
In the one he defaulted out of, he didn't just like clearly
forfeit out.
Yeah, he didn't forfeit out. He messed up his elbow pretty bad.
Yeah.
Okay, so I mean, that's it's got to be frustrating if you're a Penn State fan to see another 125 kind of not develop, right? Because he's done with the second year of college and he's losing to high school kids, and he was the number one guy in high school.
Yeah. And more than anything, there's clearly a durability thing, right? He was injured last year, right? And now he got injured here. So Yeah, I think Robbie showed 2 years ago at NCAAs, like, I mean, he was kind of coming on at the end there. If he's someone where his true freshman year, if he had had a full season, like a real season, not the fake January to March 10 match season, I think it would have been a lot more interesting to see how he was coming on. Because he's, even all that said, he was sort of coming on at the end. He beat some matches, like he beat Heinzelman. But yeah, it's tough to, he's clearly not probably going to contend for a national title, you know, this year.
Doesn't appear that way.
And I'm a Robbie Howard fan. And
then Richie Figgs, I think this also makes it, I don't want to say clear, but it does, to me, it makes evident who you would start next year. I mean, Courtney's always been a high All-American twice, and now, you know, Richie Figgs lost in the semis to Cooper Flynn. Cooper Flynn's good, but he's probably not going to contend for a national title next year. So,
no.
Yeah, Richie Figgs probably sits on the bench and trains for another year and then comes in. Richie Figgs did tech fall. Who was it? Nate Jezeroga in the third place match.
Yeah.
So he finished strong.
Yeah. Well, that's a good sign as well.
Yeah.
Honestly, as far as juniors go and U23s, I can't really talk about much else because I've not been able to watch all of it. But I tuned except for Mitchell Messenbrink, which congrats, Ben, getting another junior world teamer. Mm-hmm. And someone texted me the second he won. He's like, make Ben talk about what happened, how he did. This doesn't matter who.
Okay.
Just someone that's a coach that wants to, like, that is like,
he's drinking Mike's secret juice.
How'd you get this breakthrough? I mean, it's a breakthrough, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
So, and I think the question is how, what happened, what changed, in Mitch, what changed in y'all's approach? What is it? I mean, just go ahead.
I thought we've already talked about this.
Yeah, but you didn't really get into it. He bought in. He did this. He did that. It's like the one.
I don't want to bore people if I already talked about it.
You coach speaked it.
I don't think I did.
Only thing technically I remember you mentioning was like he can't wrestle from space all the time. Like he had to learn how to wrestle from a tie up. But that was not the extent of it.
That was essentially. You know, obviously, I'm not going to get into the really complex details of wrestling, right?
I don't know. I mean, I don't do it to spare our listeners. I think it would be very interesting to them.
Yeah. So I think a lot of it had to do with, you know, he was really stuck on and stubborn on wrestling this specific style from the outside and perfecting it. And you know, I think after a disappointment at Fargo and a disappointment at and he had some good wins at UWW Juniors in 2021, but now obviously he actually lost to Joey Bianchi, one of our other guys, in the place match. And then he had a disappointment at Fargo and he had a disappointment at Super 32. And it was like, and finally that was where, you know, if the Winter Kids are open, totally open. And it's like, hey, well, you know, this is why. And I was able to sit down and kind of explain it to him. And I brought up a whole bunch of previous matches. Basically, if the guy couldn't stop the things he did well, it was a bloodbath. He would just tech fall him or pin him every single time, you know? And I brought up like 20 matches. I'm like, look, pin, pin, pin. I'm like, show me a match you won close. And there was not one match he won close. If what he was doing was working, it was a bloodbath. And then I said, but okay, but how about these matches we lost? Like, what's the issue? The issue is we can't get to what you want to, right? And so I think if you just did, you know, a handful of different things, you know, some employing a little more scrambling, right? Getting in from wrestling from in tight. And if you can employ these things, then it'll open up your other things. And then so, you know, these guys who are shutting you down, because Kale Swenson has been a problem. Pinheiro obviously was, Ferrari. And they don't do much, right? They sit on the outside and they don't do much, and they just hope that they can stop your firing from the outside. But once you put your hands on them, they can't just sit there anymore. They actually have to like compete with you, and now your cardio becomes a factor in all these things. And so I think just kind of putting all that together, and obviously he was always really hardworking and he continues to be hardworking. But putting all those things together really helped. And if you see like in the final against Levi Haynes, he got in a few scrambles and he was highly competent in there, you know, because Levi Haynes knows what he's doing too. They were engaged in a hand fight the majority of the match, not disengaged. And obviously, in the Levi Haynes match, cardio wasn't a factor, but in other matches, it has been.
Awesome. Yeah. how, I guess for Mitchell, getting him to a place where he's open for a lot of athletes, does it, they almost need, I don't want to say rock bottom, 'cause that sounds really dramatic, but like, this, do some athletes need way more of like not getting what they want before they're open, or is it different?
Yeah, no, I think it's to me, it's everybody. I mean, there's very few people who are highly open to change when everything's working. That's in every facet of life, right?
Yeah.
If life's going great, it's hard to change. And rock bottom, you know, he plays the Super there too. So let's not,
like,
you know, it was good. He had some really good matches there also. I think levels of frustration, I think that would be like, you know, when they're frustrated because they're doing a lot of the right things and then they just like, they're not jumping the levels that they want to jump, or, you know, they're not seeing that improvement. I think that's probably where it comes in for a lot of people, is like that time.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, congrats to him. He's, I mean, beats Levi Haynes in two matches. Pretty.
Levi did have to go through the tournament, but I think he pretty much teched everybody.
Yeah, Levi was impressed with that. But that weight was tough, dude. Because
it was. That was the bracket we had circled, like, pre-tournament.
Yeah. Graf Jim Pinero Johnson, second round was fun. Brands was going nuts in the corner. You should have seen it. It was
Pinero setback wrestling.
He said that. I didn't hear that part.
Dang.
Yeah, but so, yeah. Before that,
Ratchie took out Chittum.
Oh, yeah, I did. First round. Yeah, that was a wild match, too. He took out Chittum first round. Uh-huh.
Wow. And Chittum, I think Chittum came all the way back for third.
I think he wrestled Pinero for third. Yeah, because Levi Haynes, Techfold, Caleb Henson, and Jordan Williams kind of back-to-back. That was really impressive.
Yeah, Chittum beat Ratchie in the Kansi semis then.
Yeah. Yeah, so I guess Levi Haynes, I didn't realize he teched all these dudes. And so he did wrestle almost full matches, but he Techfold, Caleb Henson, Jordan Williams, and Hunter Garvin.
Wow. So I'm not going to lie, Ben, I was a little nervous for you going in.
Yeah, you see a run like that. That's insane. Yeah, what a really impressive bracket. Okay.
They also gave us a Don Bradley situation.
What was that?
Right into the table.
Uh-huh. They got a little sassy with each other.
Yeah.
Cool.
79 was a lot of fun too. Braden Thompson over Rocco Welsh in the semis, and Josh Barr over Rowley was up 6-0 going into the second and tanked it, fell apart and lost 14-6 against Josh Barr. And then the Josh Barr and Braden Thompson kind of went down to the buzzer. I think it was 2-1. And then Josh Barr went for something. And then Braden Thompson ended up winning in the 2 out of 3 finals. So that was a really good bracket. And then 86 was ridiculous. It was a 20-man bracket. So they had a round of 32. And there were so many good matches in here.
Gotcha. Okay.
Here you're done.
I think we need to transition to the to the final X portion of the show.
You tell USA Wrestling if they have U20s and I don't get to talk about it next year, we're gonna have some issues.
I know. Well, like, they listen to me. Maybe they'll listen to you. Funny question here has made me laugh, from Jared Brooks. Why doesn't Ben make technique videos? Because he has a camp. Serious question. Ben has maybe more technique videos
than anybody
ever. and on so many different mediums. He's got the Championship Productions DVDs.
Gosh, those are so old. They still send me a check for like $64 every year.
Let's go. So from Championship Productions, you had your own little.
So I did my own one.
Yep. You've got a Fanatics. You've got Rudis.
I did a couple on Rudis, yeah.
So and Flow. Flow had multiple series of you on Flow. Flow's
some old ones. I remember they did that at the original ATT in Columbia, Missouri. I think I did it with either Mark or Joe, which is
none of those moves even work anymore. I
would be very curious to see what they are. I'm sure there was
kidding.
But it's just funny because I have watched some of my old technique and just like watched myself how I've evolved. And obviously, the more you teach, the better you get at teaching. So we went Championship Productions, and I remember, listen, this is wrestling. I was so pissed because it was 2007. They only gave me 15% of the sales, and I thought that was bullshit. But I didn't know how to do it myself. It was 2007. You know, all this stuff is not really simple. And then, so in 2012, I ended up doing it myself. Max, I did a large DVD series. And then after that, we decided to put it online, like behind a paywall. And then after that, Wrestling Fanatics came up and they made us an offer we couldn't refuse. And so we went to Wrestling Fanatics and they're doing a really good job for us. There's some stuff on our YouTube channel also. There's some stuff on Flow. There's some stuff on Rudis Plus.
Yeah.
I feel like it's
also
stuff on Facebook.
I'll search stuff for, you know, I'm trying to, for a position I'm trying to solve for Caleb or whatever we're work on. So much on YouTube, your stuff will pop up too. So if you have to go out of your way to not find Ben Askren technique videos, Jared Brooks. So
The other one I brought up after you guys left the show yesterday, the Kenny Powers one, because I freaking love Kenny Powers. I was Kenny Powers for Halloween 1 year. That's how much I loved him.
Oh, wow.
You guys watch his show?
He's bound it down.
It's, yeah, I've seen a little bit. It didn't capture my heart like many shows. So. Oh,
my God. I was dying laughing. So hard. Yeah.
You should dye your hair black like Kenny.
I think I did the mullet and then I cut my hair afterward. You know, so he had the
mm-hmm.
like,
oh, yeah.
Hair. Yeah, I think I did that.
Gorgeous. Hey, before we go to Final X New York, I don't think we got to quite wrap Stillwater.
Not really.
So major thing, Jenna Briquette gets injured in match two and has to forfeit that match and the third match, making Jakar Winchester the world teamer. Jenna has since tweeted and sounds like everything's fine and she's okay, which is the most important thing. But something I didn't even think about, and I don't think it could possibly be a thing, but
stay woke.
But JD is
hey, it wouldn't be a USA Wrestling World Team Trials process without one court case.
Yeah. So could Jenna get, say, hey, give me the third match. Let me get to wrestle this one.
I don't think that's possible, is it?
I don't think it should be, honestly.
Look, world medalists get the opportunity to delay a la Velty, or not Velty,
Kayla Miracle.
But
like here, you can't, I know they started. But I'm just saying she has an argument.
Yeah, but you can't start it because then then obviously that could be gamed. Like, oh, I don't feel good today. I lost my match one. I'm gonna arm. That was what Pinero Johnson did, and they finally called his ass. They made him get back to the center, or maybe they cautioned and warned him because Brands was going nuts. And like the third entry timing is ratchet. He's like, my arm. He's pointing his arm. I'm like, no, I'm not. I don't want to hear about your arm. Get your butt back to the center. It was hilarious. And then he wouldn't do it. They're like, caution and one. But he's like, my arm.
Okay. So I don't know. I'll have to go
I'm
back.
I'm not saying it should be like that. I'm just saying she might have enough of an argument to make it at least a process.
No way, dude. You can't do that. You can't.
If she can get like a doctor's note that says.
Think of what Pandora's box that opens.
No, too much Pandora's box. Yeah.
Yeah.
Tell him.
I agree. And I'm not saying it should be like that.
He's driving the train. Yeah, he's trying to.
Young and naive.
All he wants is chaos. Look at his shirt.
I live for chaos.
This is the guy that just wants this. Wants to inject insanity into everything. Glad Jenna's okay.
Oh, Kozak's in the chat. Oh. World medalists need to submit their delay 48 hours prior to event per select criteria.
Yeah. Larry Steele, this is funny. She doesn't go to Cornell. Won't be as easy. Cornell loves getting delayed wrestle-offs.
Involved in weird processes.
Dake is the GOAT for that because he literally wrestled beyond. He got a note that said he can't wrestle until this day and then went overseas and wrestled in a tournament
that was so
between
ridiculous.
That time. That's legendary.
Might I have you, Jenna did tweet that she's assessing her options.
Yeah, but in the context of the tweet, that didn't sound like that, but Michael Chiesa on Reddit, like you read it, which is like, look into it. If I see Terry or Rich Bender, I'm going to look into it. Consider it looked into already, and we'll look further. Okay, so that happened. The weirdest series of all the weird series was definitely Force Molinari versus Mallory Velty. Mallory comes out.
I brought that series up when she got off air.
Smokes Forrest, and Forrest wins a really gritty, tight, like 2-2 maybe type of match, and then she gets teched again. Very strange to see Forrest kind of dominated twice like that by Mallory. But
yeah, especially when she was making those comments that she was not on my level anymore or I'm past her. I don't remember the exact verbiage she used, but it was something to that effect.
Well, with Forrest, you have to understand there's an element of showmanship and theatrics with her.
I understand.
You wouldn't get it because you never did. But then you never did that
about it. It's great. Remember, like we did with Carter Soraki.
Because what did he say? Oh, all about the chance stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, like a 10 minutes after the guy's butt whoops, he was talking trash again.
Yeah. It's a wild move. Okay, so that was notable. Beyond that, we talked about
So Forrest Molinari has a world medal, correct?
She do.
Okay. Melly Velty hammered her. I mean, that last match was a bloodbath.
Mm-hmm. Not good.
Not good. Bad. Fast.
Fast. Laced her up and it was over.
Can I make an offer to Melly Velty though?
Yes.
Listen, Melly Velty, I'm personally offended when someone lets go of a cradle. In match two, you had a cradle and you let go of it. If you want to fly to Wisconsin, I would love to teach you how to finish that cradle because I see myself as a representative of the inside cradle. You inside cradle someone, you should pin them at least 96% of the time.
96?
A lot. Whoa. Like it's at maybe 100 for some people, you know, maybe like 92 for some people. But if you get zero, she got in match two, she had an inside cradle and she got 0 points off of it. That's unacceptable.
Jail. Straight to jail.
Straight to jail.
Straight to jail. Yeah. I would, if I got inside cradle and I didn't score, I'd probably retire my shoes.
I'd be it. Ben, you could never retire. You're gonna, I bet in 10 years from now, you're gonna be taking some matches with someone. Ah,
my daughter actually brought up, who do we see? Who was it? I don't remember what we were watching. We were watching wrestling and it was the World Team Trials. Did someone leave their shoes on the mat? Or they're talking about someone leaving their shoes on the mat at the World Team Trials. And she's like, did you leave your shoes on the mat? I'm like, nah, I was never sure I was done. So I need to find an opportunity to leave my shoes on the mat at some point.
Okay. Well, if that's what you're... But
I should have been before that Burroughs match.
He mentioned that back at the press conference.
Which, well, we sold out the Madison Square. Let's see if he could do it again, or let's see who the real draw was.
Which, by the way,
I can tell you that. Nervous.
Is it sold out?
No.
Not of yesterday. It wasn't.
What's up, Jordan? What's up?
I am nervous about somebody else not named Ben Askren going off this stage tomorrow.
It's a little bigger. The stage is bigger. I was here in 19, the scene of the crime, as it were. And it's it's wider. So I don't think so. Who? Okay, let's look. Thinking of
who went off at Final X yesterday? Or not yesterday. Last Friday when they...
Vito.
That was not good. Good at all. That could have been bad.
Bader said the S word.
Twice. And then he said the S word.
That was so funny.
And he's been canceled for 4 days. If you notice, he hasn't commentated any matches since then. But
hilarious.
His suspension ends tonight, though. Actually at 2:00 Eastern. So I don't know who the biggest candidate to go off. Kyle Dake putting Jason Nolf off the stage is a pretty probably the betting odd, since one time he finished a double leg on David Taylor 4 mats over.
Yeah. There's a decent, and that's why I hate that rule. They need to make official. I was actually just complaining about this. Well, actually, you know who was complaining about it? Mitchell's dad, John Messenbrink's like, that stupid table wasn't there. He would have got 4.
Said, yeah.
He would have, because Levi Haynes was falling backwards and minimum 2, right? And the issue I have with this rule, as we've talked about many times, cue the Don Bradley footage, or who's the other one? Hayden Hidley, maybe? Is that the other one?
Oh, yeah.
Trent's wrestling, Mark Hall. That's a potential.
Yeah, Hayden. Hayden, remember that like 6-month stretch where everyone just liked to like put Anthony Valencia into a wall or through tables and stuff?
Or through the cement.
Well, because it's ridiculous, because in some instances, you could be 47 feet off the mat and they'll give you 4 points. It's like, whoa. What is what's happening right now?
Yeah.
So depending on which direction. Oh, God. Oh, we got it.
No.
All right.
Now it just keeps it on him.
All right.
You guys still here?
Oh, right. Here we go. Because depending on which direction you're driving a double leg, sometimes you might have 2 feet and they stop you. Sometimes you might have Kyle Dake and David Taylor amount of feet and they stop you.
Yeah. Should be a little more uniform for sure. So I would say, okay. Let's turn our focus to Final X New York.
Here we go now.
What do we say? yeah.
All right.
Here we go now.
All right. Here we go now. A little bit of back and forth chatter with Zahid and David. More Zahid saying he yesterday or 2 days ago, I guess now, said that, you know, if David beats me, it's an upset, which is some pretty bold talk from Zahid, talking about the Olympic champ, reigning world silver medalist, guy that's been on the team basically every year since 2018 when he's been healthy. Are you giving Zahid a shot here at all, Ben?
Yes, I would say. Maybe not a big shot, but I'll entertain the possibility. He's been wrestling really well lately. We haven't seen David in forever. I don't think it's a good possibility, but there is some.
I think for Zahid, David's just a really tough matchup because David's not going to be rattled if he's down even 4-0. Yeah. No, right, it's like the second period is where he just goes beast mode. Like Yazdani is like first period lunatic, and it's David is like his second 2 to 3 minutes are a pretty insane pace. And until we see that David doesn't have that, he has that, and I think that's just gonna be tough for Zahid to contend with. If I don't think the cut's gonna be a thing for either guy, certainly not Zahid.
I don't think so.
And David, while
I don't think it's a thing.
It's not a major cut. Talking with Kyle Dake yesterday, he had mentioned that like this is the best. I don't know if he said the words, "This is the best I felt at 74," but he's like,
he looks good.
He said a lot better than like last year or last time. Like it's a much better weight cut for him. He feels good. And talking with him, like his face looked full, good color. Like he didn't look like a guy that was in the throes of a like Yanni. You can tell he's like really sucked out yesterday. Man. It's a pretty tough pull for him. Kyle looked great.
Hey, in our comments, Brandon Paulson, Pinnacle co-founder, legend. Shout he out. Says Amos might go off the stage, and I wish we could just zap him in here. The problem with Greco going off the stage is there's no driving maneuvers, right? Like a double leg. So in Greco, you kind of got to be a dick to throw him off the stage.
Pat
gotta,
Smith like, says, "Hold my beer," there,
and then boom, and you know.
You want to talk about Greco double legs? Pat Smith might say, "Hold my beer," because that guy is
doubling.
That's a leg attacking Greco wrestler. Watch Pat Smith. Love the guy.
Yeah, he like dives in and like gets his arms out wide.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Giangelo. Okay, so I talked to Giangelo yesterday after the press conference. This guy said his practices, they cut on the heater, they set the clock for 90 minutes, and they go live every day, the whole time. I was like, what? He's like, that's what we do live every day. I was like, that's really, he's like, sometimes we'll like, you know, if we're in a position, we'll like work through it, but we just pretty much only go live. I was like, all right.
Hey, I'm supposed to wish Eleanor a happy birthday too via the chat.
Whose birthday?
Anyone who wants birthday wishes, just put it in the chat. We'll do happy birthdays all show.
Jared Brooks, he's got 5 stars next to his name. I don't know what that means. But I guess
he's a devout fan,
but he's not a devout fan of Ben because he didn't even know you had technique. So,
hey, that's weird, though. 90 minutes. Live. I mean, listen, 90 minutes once in a while gets you a little tougher. That's great. But I don't really know that it's the most productive use of his 90 minutes every day. But he's pretty good at wrestling, so it's working for him. So, sure. Keep going.
Just go live, bro.
Yeah.
Okay. So talk with Dake yesterday. He had said, well, it's a lot of interesting things. So there was a really cool moment in the press conference where Kyle Klingman asked David, Jordan, and Kyle about like what it was like. You guys were all competitors in the same bracket. Now you're all spread out with an opportunity to make the team and all three be teammates again. And basically they all had their say about it. And Jordan's like, man, it's great. We're going to go. We're going to have a chance to win a world title as a team. These guys haven't had an opportunity to do that yet. And Russia's not going to be there. So that's going to help too. And he like sort of smiled about it. And the moment Jordan said that, Kyle like kind of like goes like kind of like made a face like, oh my gosh, like I hate that. So then I talked to him about it. And Kyle was like, yeah, I want those. I really want Russia and Belarus there. Those are the matches I want. And, you know, I followed up afterwards and was like, what are your overall thoughts on the ban from them? He's like, with it, and he didn't get political at all and wasn't trying to get him to go there, but it was just basically like, you know, what did these guys have to do with it? What did they have to do with, you know, the decisions their horrible president made? Which I think is kind of the, you know, that's what Gilman said. That's kind of what we said. Like, kind of keep politics out of it. But, you know, it's geopolitics is not our area of expertise. It could be said I don't have any area of expertise, but definitely not geopolitics. Tyler.
Wow. Kozak, did you see what Kozak just said? What
did he say?
I'd be shocked if one of the number ones transfer. Could see some of their 2 and 3s transfer this winter. So that would be interesting. They're required to submit papers by December.
Yes. Yes. Okay. So, yeah, Dake really wants those matches. He also, you know, Dake's always on some new stuff. He's constantly reading and learning and trying new things. And he said something that sort of reminded me of you in the film The Funk, where you're like, okay, I take this. All right, this doesn't work anymore. Boom, I'm done with this. I'm on to this new thing. And he was sort of describing that kind of process. So I asked him, I was like, okay, so what are some things that you used to do that you don't do anymore? He's like, or I asked him if there were things. He's like, yes, absolutely. There's things I don't do anymore. I was like, what? He said, splits. He's like, don't do splits anymore. And he's like
as a wrestling maneuver or as a stretch?
As a wrestling maneuver, and I would assume as a stretch. He doesn't remember, not a big stretch guy.
I remember.
He doesn't like to stretch. So he was basically like, man, that's not, and I said, is that health or is that a wrestling decision? He's like, both. He's like, it's not good for you to have your foot above your head and ducking under things and twisting your body in that way. And,
I want to ask him now, say they get your leg up in the air and they put it way high. I mean, you're in a near split position. Right? Does he just want to turn down and go seal, or is he trying to kick out, or like what decision is he making here? Because they're obviously in certain cases there's a limited amount of wrestling choices you can make.
He doesn't split anymore, that's what he said. And I think he probably is like troubleshooted it enough that he knows where he is going to go if he ends up in that scenario.
I wonder where he's gonna go.
But he was like, ask, you know, he said, you know, ask James Green about, you know, it wasn't split related, but just like about the wear and tear that certain,
I think James repeated Green, position. I have talked to James Green, not extensively, but a little bit. I think, and like me, like my hip was misshapen, and that was what caused a lot of the wear and tear to happen a lot faster than a lot.
I've always thought that.
I know, but legit it was. Anyways, I think James Green has a very similar. Similar issue from, you know, what he alluded to me.
Got it.
He's gonna have the same procedure I did.
Okay. Yeah. So that was a fun talking with Kyle. We actually didn't. I kind of realized after it was like a 13-minute interview, and I didn't say the words Jason off at any point in time. It was like very much focused on like things outside of the match. So that's my one regret, because I'm intrigued about this matchup. JD got to talk to Nolf a little bit. I don't know if you want to share a little bit of what that was like and your thoughts going into that match.
Yeah, it was interesting. He obviously he's 0-2 against him. He didn't have a whole lot to say. He did say, hey, Kyle Dake has bad matches too. Everybody has bad matches. But it's Kyle Dake.
Kyle Dake had like,
one, he said bad one bad match.
Yeah,
maybe what go back to Kevin Valley, maybe two.
And that's what Nolf said.
That was 11 years ago.
He said
a long time ago.
He said Cal Day got Tech 2. He goes, do I think that would happen again? No.
Yeah. He's like, I don't think that.
heard how the algorithm works?
Yeah.
Algorithms, bro.
Algos, bro. So no sound yet. All right, now I think we have sound. All our friends in the Facebook chat, tell us, can you hear our words?
Uh-oh, when I was double... Wait, what's going on?
Talk louder, says Keith Gothard.
Oh my gosh, I'm an idiot.
Are you?
Yes, because I turned on the YouTube to see if we were frozen there, and there was no sound. And so I didn't realize it. Then there was double sound. I'm like, where is this double sound coming from? And I forgot that YouTube was on.
All right.
I sneak up behind you. Watch out, Christian! He's sneaking behind you!
Yeah, that really scared me. I was like, holy cow. No Askren. Yeah, he's in Wisconsin. Man, I'm sorry for the sound was out. Ben was sharing this really touching story. He broke down and cried, but I don't think we're not going to make him go back there. So we'll just move on to with Final X, New York. So we talked a little bit about Nolf. Of the matches, what do you see with an option that could maybe go a third?
What if Evan Harrison snuck one out?
It would surprise me. It would surprise me more than Seth Gross, Dayton Fix. I think talk to Evan yesterday and he's like, yeah, when we trained together, it's like, sometimes you're the hammer, sometimes you're the nail. It was kind of like, he didn't give any indication of who had the edge. You can assume Yanni did. When at the time, Evan was basically brought to Cornell to be Yanni's training partner. So that was like the dynamic there. But, you know, since that time, and he's been in a lot of different places, Evan was extremely complimentary of Ohio State, and he's felt like that structure there has been really, really good for him.
Yeah. I do have a tough time seeing on three matches, but obviously with you saying Yanni's weight cuts hard, and you know, Evan's tricky. He has some really good sneaky things. So I can see it happening for sure.
It'll have to be like a pin or some huge dynamic kind of throw, chest wrap position. Yeah, for sure. Okay, Burroughs versus Marsteller. I had
it'd be hard to see that one.
Hard to see it.
We've seen it once before. It was all Burroughs.
All Burroughs. How all Burroughs? I mean, 8-0.
Oh, I thought I was gonna say 7-2.
No.
And, well, they wrestled at Trials and Yasudogu.
Who's the Yasudo?
Don't correct me. Yeah, look at three attacks.
Burroughs just has the timing on Chance.
Well, Chance cannot fake. Don't fake. Don't even pretend to fake.
Yeah, that was one hard thing when I wrestled Burroughs. I was like, I like to fake. I'm like, but if I fake, I'm going to get killed here. Yeah. I actually didn't really have any good options because if I shot, he's going to re-attack. So that was a bad option. Faking was a bad option. You know, against Jordan Burroughs, unless you're like one of the top four in the world, you don't have a lot of good options.
Not a lot of good options.
I don't know if you know that.
I have some idea. He talked about that match in the press conference. He's like, you know, last time I was here, it went pretty well for me. So you continue to catch strays from a match 3 years ago. But to your point, Ben, you sold it out.
Sold it out. Still not sold out, Jordan. What are you doing here?
I was telling someone that yesterday when they were asking about, like, so I was like, dude, that was Ben. That was like a culminating moment in his career, the height of his fame. He was coming off the Lawler win. He was going to fight Masvidal. It's like, it was him.
Yeah.
No, all due respects to the other competitors.
But, well, I like antagonizing him, so that's fine. What about Alyssa Lampe and Sarah Hildebrand? Because Alyssa Lampe, she looked really good at the trials, and obviously you know, she's been someone who's been on the world team. But then you have Sarah, who's also looked like a killer. So, you know, part of me says, like, it's not going to be competitive, and part of me says, well, maybe there is a chance there.
Well, for Alyssa, I think she has the template for someone who can make things difficult for Sarah, because she's very positional. She's strong. She's going to be strong for the weight. She's hard to score on. Yeah. So I think that is a good recipe for, you know, making things tougher for Sarah, but Sarah's offense and ability to score. And she's got the knockout punch where if she gets on top once, I would love to like look at her last like 20 matches and the percentage of time she gets a turn off of a takedown.
A lot.
It's high. It's really high. And so you basically have to say she's not going to get a chance on top, but you would Dayton Fix didn't get a chance on top against Seth Gross, which are those two things related? No, but it's not something you would have predicted going in. So for Lampe, it's she needs to not get brought up or not get taken down multiple times. She got to ugly up the match, right? Yeah, make it a freaking street fight. And the other thing that for me is a question, but Sarah's a pro, but 50 is tough. It's tough for Sarah. She
looks so lean, and you know, I see her wrestling and pictures and stuff. She just looks so lean for that.
Yeah, that she looked jacked at the press conference.
Yeah,
I don't know if it was the light, but her arms looked like they're saying Piles-esque. I'm not saying it. They're saying it. It's just something that people have been saying online. But she didn't look like she was in the throes of a really brutal wake up, but who knows how it's going to go today. Either did Forrest Molinari at Final X Stillwater, and it was a brutal wake up for Forrest. And that she was, it was touch and go there if Forrest was going to make weight at Final X. And she ultimately did, but the recovery was not there.
Ildar and Dalton Roberts are basically guaranteed to go three matches.
Perfect.
They've had 2-3 match series. Both went to three.
They have only 3 match series.
So that'll be exciting. I'm looking forward to watching Kamal Bey, Britton Holmes. Their guys are training partners. Hopefully that doesn't make it so that there's like so much familiarity that nothing happens. But like in a Kamal Bey match, you know, it's hard to imagine him not getting the getting to those opportunities and trying to throw. So that would be good. We should go, let's go through our predictions actually. Cause we can't predict tomorrow. Cause it'll be a lot easier, to be fair, but all right. So let's start it at 77. Kamal Bey, Britton Holmes. I got Kamal in two in at least 1-5.
I don't know who Britton Holmes is, to be honest with you.
They are WCAP teammates.
Hey, can I say something else about Greco while we're at it?
That's a troop.
This would be more positive than negative here.
Okay, good.
So I think a lot of them have this. They want people to be interested or excited by the wrestling. And for a lot of us, we just aren't. But when you choose a pursuit in life, at times people will think it's interesting and exciting. And that is great when that happens, right? But at other times, you won't. And so, like, you know, I say disc golf, right? I don't think people are interested in me playing disc golf. That's fine. I love it. I want to be good at it. My MMA style, honestly, for a long time, I got so much trouble for being boring. But it's like, well, hey, listen, my goal is to be the best fighter in the world. And I'm doing a style that's conducive to that. And I don't really give a shit if you want to watch it or not. It doesn't matter to me. It's kind of irrelevant. It so happened to change later in life. But it's like when you choose something in life that you want to be good at and pursue that, you should just be happy with the pursuit, regardless of whether people find it exciting or not exciting. That's irrelevant, right? It's like when you choose your pursuit in life, you choose it because you love it and you want to be great at it. And so I'm sure all these dudes, like I kind of give Greco a hard time. I'm sure they're all like, most of them are great dudes, right? I'm sure they work really hard. But when you choose your pursuit in life, don't be worried about whether Ben Askren finds it exciting or not, or other people, right? Just choose your pursuit because you love your pursuit and you have passion for it and you want to be great at it. And if that's what you're passionate about, you should not really care whether people find it to be interesting or not, right? You just love it because you love it.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, like, I mean, wrestling, if we want to really talk about it, like wrestling as a whole, right? Obviously we are getting more popular. Absolutely. Right. But when we still want to talk about the popularity compared to tennis or baseball or football or bat, we ain't there. Right. And I chose this life. I chose wrestling because I freaking love wrestling. I love it. I don't really give a crap if other people want to watch it. I don't really give a crap if we're not mainstream. I love wrestling, and that's all that matters to me. I want to coach other guys to be great at wrestling because they love wrestling, right? And it's like, yeah, I should go coach basketball or football if I wanted more mainstream. And will I do things that make wrestling more appealing to the masses? Yeah, absolutely. Right. But is that my sole focus as I'm doing it? It's not. I'm doing wrestling because I love wrestling. And if I can also do things to make things more entertaining or draw more eyeballs, I will absolutely do that, but not my sole focus.
Heck yeah.
Especially as a competitor.
Yeah. Well said. Well said.
Sorry, I had to get it off my chest.
Thank you. So second match, second series going to be Amit Allure versus Skylar Grote. Amit Allure seems to be on the path to making multiple senior world teams. She's still very young, but she's won at every age level, at the world level, and she's my pick to make the team here at 72.
Yeah, she was not old enough to wrestle last year, and I've watched a few of her matches, really impressed. I think she's going to be the girl on the team, but I do wish there was, you know, one of the Blade sisters, mm-hmm. or a Welker, or obviously Adeline's out. You know, it'll be interesting to see how those materialized before 2024.
Yeah, and you cannot get a freaking answer on the Blade's absence from these trials.
I got one. I think they just wanted a little more time to prepare, and there's a lot of things going on in their life.
Prepare for, more time. They only had time. What did they not
I'll
have time?
I'll just leave it at that.
Well, you said it, so it's like evokes a question, like, all right.
I believe they're getting ready for a move to Arizona, right? They graduated high school. They're moving to Arizona for the next training situation. Yeah.
For me, it's like, I don't know. Man, what do I know?
I was also shocked to see them not compete. So, I had the same question or feeling that you did.
I mean, she Kennedy wrestled against Francis in the Rudis event and looked, fantastic. So,
yeah.
All right, so we've got Amit and Kamal.
Mm-hmm.
Yanni D versus Evan Henderson. That's the third match, getting the New York boy Yanni on the mat in the third match. To me, Yanni, I just think he's going to be really a lot of the scenarios are going to happen, like when they're connected, when they're touching, when they're on a leg, someone's on a leg in a position. And I think it's going to be a lot of just wrestling positions that they're going to be going through. It's not going to be a lot of dynamic blow through you type of stuff. It's not going to be a lot of hand fighting and standing there. And that much connection, I think it favors Yanni.
Yeah, I agree. I think there's a way Evan sneaks one out, but as far as Evan winning this series, I would be shocked.
Yeah. He's got to pin him. He's got to have something dynamic.
Yeah.
Or Yanni's just got to have a really bad cut.
Mm-hmm.
87 kilos. Alan Vera versus Timothy Young, who, not many. Listen, he went to Old Dominion, and I still wasn't sure who Timothy Young was. Alan Vera is someone who I couldn't believe last year when he did make the Olympic team. I think he's going to be the guy here. He's really good. If you don't know Alan's story, he's Cuban. He's he's immigrated to the United States. He's a citizen. He's wrestled for us at the World Championships now twice, I think. And he's my pick here in two straight.
Yeah, Alan Vera.
Alan Vera. Hayden Zilmer, Nick Wazdowski. So Nick's the favorite. I think everyone knows Nick Wazdowski is the favorite here. The case for Hayden is Nick's coming off a loss at Pan Am's to Amar Desi. He's someone who is someone that Nick has typically beaten with little issues. So you could say, all right, based on that, Nick is on the descent of his career, but I'm not ready to go there. I'm team. That was an outlier performance for Gwiz. And I'm not sure that Zilmer can present the same problems that the Desi did. So I'm taking him.
My wife set up the fire alarm.
What's Ozzy?
Maybe Ozzy did. I don't know. Maybe he's burning stuff. I don't know what's going on.
Listen,
can you hear it? Can you hear it?
Yes, Ben. We can hear it.
All right, take it off.
Sounds like a bonsai predicament song.
I know. Yeah, Amy, I don't know what she's doing up there. Burning something. It's Ozzy. You know what? It's Ozzy. I don't know how it's his half birthday. He's convinced he's supposed to get presents and have a party and shit. It's like, nah, bro, it's your half birthday. Like, so
listen,
all juiced up this morning. I said, you're 4.5, you're stronger. And I was like, yeah, look how strong I am. So you're faster. And he started running laps. And he's like, yeah, I'm faster. I'm like, all right, great. No presents.
Man, that's on you. A 4-year-old would never know it's his half birthday unless someone was telling him.
I think it was his sister's, honestly.
Oh, got it. Sisters gassed him up. Dang. So he's
going to leave the premises.
No. Like a like a fire ever hurt anybody, Ben? Come on. What's a little fire?
I can escape out this window right here if I need to. I have a window. You can't see it behind the...
This is good. Well, you know what? It's
great radio right now. Great radio.
I'm reassured to learn.
I'll mute me and you guys talk for a minute, okay? I'll mute me. I'll be back in 1 minute.
You put out the fire. Firefighter Ben Askren is going to go get to the bottom of that. There's the empty chair. If we start to see smoke rolling in, we'll stop laughing at that point. But until we see smoke or some sort of sign of danger, we will only laugh at the fire alarm going up.
That's right.
Okay.
So we saw Gwiz Zilmer at the Yasher Doe.
Mm-hmm.
The most boring match ever.
Heck
Gwiz
yeah.
Gwiz won 3-0.
That's what's up.
Yeah, one takedown and a passivity point. I see it going very similarly where Gwiz maybe takes one or two shots. Zilmer will end up having to take one or two shots, and Gwiz just too big and sound defensively.
Gwiz is strong when you're on his legs. I mean, I think Zilmer's going to have to hit a go behind off an errant Gwizdowski shot.
Yeah, I just don't see happening because Gwiz will just probably step in. Maybe the one or two sweeps. But
yeah. Yeah.
So Gwiz in two, but close. I'm talking 3-0, 3-1, something like that.
Yeah. Maybe this is one that could go three. Although it's tough to say. Alejandro Sancho versus Alston Nutter. Sancho, the more experienced guy. Guy's made multiple world teams. So an Olympian. And I think he takes out Nutter here.
Yeah, I agree. Pretty sure we've seen it before and Sancho won. So
here he comes. Look at him laughing.
I'll go with the history.
Then comes back. He's so happy.
I'm back.
Hey, buddy. Did you neutralize the...
She burned the bacon in the air fryer. And then... But she was... I got quick wits, right? So it kept smoking. And she's like, I can't figure out how to stop the smoke. And then I just took the air fryer and put it outside in the yard. And then we're golden.
That's genius. That's genius.
I want to continue the show without interruption. So the air fryer's in the yard.
Now you have an outdoor air fryer, which is like, for your home value, could send it through the roof. It's like... my dog just flipped out. My bulldog does not like the fire alarms. Now you got Suge White on your case. That is not good.
What did I miss? What are we talking about?
Bulldogs,
fire alarm. Oh, this. Oh, I was on the other screen, so I didn't see this. It's behind.
If this was Suge Knight, you'd be in all kinds of danger. You would be.
Is he dead?
No, I think he's incarcerated.
Incarcerated, yeah.
Because he's basically a lifelong criminal. And oftentimes they end up incarcerated. Okay. Shout out to Suge Knight, though, in case you're listening. He used to listen. I'm not sure if he still does, but shout out to Suge. Moving on. We hit on Sancho Nutter. Now we're to Felicity Taylor, Dom Parrish. Dom Parrish is someone who I think is continuing to get better and better. And I think she's athletic. She's scrappy. She's got really sound technique. I think she's probably going to be the winner here over Felicity Taylor.
Yeah, I think Felicity's still probably just a little too young.
Mm-hmm.
Dom, obviously, very experienced. So give me the experience, Dom.
I'll go Dom also.
Dom Parrish. Okay. Next match. Dalton Roberts versus Ildar Hafizov. JD has already declared that this must go three matches.
That's right.
That is law.
Whether you want it or not, it will.
Yep. So buckle up for that. I'll take Ildar.
Ugh. Roberts has won the past three matches. I don't know if that changes your.
He's won the past three.
I believe so.
Or last three series or last three matches.
I think matches. They had.
Wasn't Ildar the Olympian?
Yes, but Dalton was at a different weight. Mm. Or no, he didn't make it to, the finals to wrestle him there. Dalton just won at Bill Farrell. And then I think when the last two of the series and Final X, when they wrestled for the world team spot.
Okay. Well, I said what I said, JD. You're not going to change my mind.
I'll go Ildar too.
Okay. Wow. Everyone's going Ildar. Ben, you got a freebie here.
Hey, I'll go Dalton. And I want to let you guys know, it's not because of my expertise. It's only because of my geography. I beat you guys down in the pick-ems last week because I picked Jesse Dilkey and Benji Peake and Ben Provisor. And I don't think you guys picked any of them dudes.
I picked Provisor.
Yeah, you think I didn't pick Provisor?
I would, yeah, you guys.
I definitely picked Provisor.
Did y'all say my picks? I had them in.
No, we definitely didn't.
But there is proof, and Tyler can attest that
I'm trying to.
I had them in.
What are you doing Fox over there, Christian?
What does it look like?
You look kind of funny. You're like sitting forward in your chair. Like, I don't know. I'm trying to figure out what you're doing.
My neck and back hurt sometimes, so I like lean forward and kind of.
Old man.
Yeah, in my advanced age. Yeah. Okay. I don't think you whooped us. I actually don't think I got any wrong, including Seth Gross, Dayton Fix.
Well, I just named two you got wrong.
I know, but I got those right, actually, looking back. 97, G'Angelo Hancock versus Braxton Amos.
Hancock.
Love Braxton, but it's Hancock until proven otherwise.
Because he does 90 minutes straight.
He does 90 until Braxton goes in a shed, cuts on the heater, and goes 90 minutes live. Every day, like G'Angelo Hancock. I don't think he's going to be ready. So that's what I'm saying.
I'm looking at my picks, which we're in, by the way. At least I got Zane in three. I did say that.
Wow. Dang. Nice.
We definitely picked Jordan on the show.
Yeah.
Yeah, I forgot. Yeah, you weren't on the show where we did all our picks. Sarah versus Alyssa Lampe. Sarah Hilderman, of course. I'm not. Maybe Ben's more woke on this being more of a series. I think Sarah.
I'm woke on Sarah being very, very good.
Yeah, that's kind of me too.
Yeah, I mean, I'll say that too. I thought Alyssa looked really good at the trials.
I agree. I
have those brackets up right now, but I believe she put the beat down on some girls, right?
No, she was pretty dominant for sure. Yeah.
Okay,
but
that's what I was thinking.
Yeah, she's lefty single all day. There's a factor of, you know, Oregon State's really got it going on with their women's wrestling. She's been there. But Sarah's so proven at the international level. She's been so dominant. And as long as her weight cut goes well, I think she's going to win. And she's late in this, you know, 10th match. She's got a lot of time to gear up. So I've got Sarah. Dake versus Nolf. I'm excited for this. I'm excited that Nolf could maybe make it interesting, but I don't know if that's going to happen. I think.
How can you pick against Dake?
Yeah, you can't pick against Dake here.
Some
may.
I agree.
I will not.
I would love to see it be significantly more interesting and competitive, but I kind of have a hard time seeing that.
Yeah. You know, and you think about, like, how many cracks Penn State had at trying to get Dake off, knock Dake off, and they haven't been able. It's the one code they haven't been able to figure out, and that's true for basically everyone.
Is he an uncrackable code?
Well, Jordan did it. Certainly not. He's been cracked, but just
Cuddy did it.
Yeah, Cuddy Magomedov did it. How many international losses outside of America does Dake have? Very like true. Who? Think about it. He's won worlds every time he's gone. He has one loss at the Olympics. And just think about all the trips overseas.
He lost to...
I mean, he beat Sargush in like 14 or 13.
And, you have to go back to like 2016.
2016 when he was at 86?
Oh, wow. Yep.
So
you almost don't even want to count that because it was so ridiculous that he was wrestling in that weight class.
Except... like, man, he was right there to make the freaking team.
Yeah, he had a really good run, but it's not the weight class he should have been wrestling.
No, I agree.
Not at all.
Completely agree. This was John Kozak's right. Yeah, Gaji at 2018 Euregan. He had that really sick, like, outside step.
Yeah.
That was nice. And then Dake freaking bombed him at Worlds. Teched this guy. He had nothing left. Helen versus Hedrick. This is kind of like a Tamira versus Sienna Ramirez situation. It's like a goat versus a young up-and-comer, but they've wrestled before. Hedrick is solid, but Helen is, you know, maybe the greatest ever. I think she is the greatest women's wrestler in American history, and she is in the middle of her prime, as far as I'm concerned. And She's gonna win here. Two, I would imagine, dominant matches.
Yeah, same.
Yep.
Burrow's chance is certainly on the ascent right now, and I think that I could see things that Chance could do to really slow Burrow's down. I think there's some changes he can make, but I just have a hard time seeing him. I could see him having a lead in a match, but I just don't see him getting his hand raised at any point. I think it's Jordan in two straight.
Yeah, Jordan two straight. And I don't want to say that's boring, but it's kind of like
foregone.
Foregone is a great word for that. I hope we are
incorrect.
Surprised in there. You know, these last five: Sarah, Kyle, Helen, Jordan, David. They're obviously all world champions, right? And I hope some of them maybe are a little more competitive, and maybe they go. I think the most likely would be Alyssa, Jason, or Zahid. I hope a couple of them go three matches and there's some real high drama.
I know the Sunkiss crew is very confident going into the David Taylor match. They really think they can compete there. They're going to wrestle, right? It's not going to be, I don't think it's going to be some calculated cat and mouse, pick your spots type of match. Like you can see sometimes, I think David and Zahid and David alluded to it. He said, you know, hey, I'm looking forward to this match because he will wrestle me. And I think there'll be some thrilling finishes. And maybe in one of these matches with David and Zahid, where maybe David has to run him down. But 6 minutes with that guy is just brutal for everyone. It was interesting talking to David because he said, like, after the Olympics, like, I was surprised I appreciated his honesty, but it was basically like, listen, man, after you reach the mountaintop of winning the Olympics, it's hard to get back up for a world championships against the same guys just a couple months later. But you do it because you like wrestling and, you want to win worlds and it's an opportunity. So go get it. But recapturing that magic, he's like, I was training, but was I really training? Was I as focused in this and that? But he said that, you know, the loss to Yazdani was actually like good extra fuel, and it's got him really pumped to make another team and to win a world title. So I think we're going to see a really optimized David. I'm not concerned that he hasn't wrestled in 8 months. Is his style more conducive to, you know, you can have a long layoff? Because one thing I know you mentioned, like, that went away for you was you got off the mat, like your just timing wasn't there.
But that was me. That was not. Let me clarify that statement, Christian. That was me not wrestling very much. Like when I'm starting to do MMA more, David's still wrestling probably every single day. So
for sure,
And
the guys, and also the guys he gets to wrestle with. I mean, just that room is absurd. So he's getting tested every day. Now he said that he's like, man, I'm tested every single day by these guys. So I think he's in a perfect situation to take 8 months off of competition and be fine. And that's my perspective.
Yeah. I think maybe more interesting will be, you know, it's like, can Zahid close the gap a little bit? Cause then he would have two more years after this, right? 2024, Olympic 86 kg. You know, you think like that's probably, for me, I know the Sunkiss camp probably doesn't feel this way, but for me, that's more realistic for Zahid, is that in 2 years, he's going to get this matchup.
Yeah.
And so in order to do that, you would like to see, you'd like to see them close the distance a little bit, right, from what it has been.
Yeah. And I think one thing that is going to be more and more a huge advantage for David is he continues to meddle getting to sit out, because I see the 86 field is going to be really competitive with all the guys. You're going to have Zahid, you're going to have Aaron Brooks is going to have his hat in the ring sooner rather than later. And to only have to beat one of those guys is going to be a big advantage for David and provide that longevity for him. And talking with Dake, just to kind of circle back, and I have David in two matches against Zahid, talking with Dake about, you know, how he's viewing his career and how much longer he's going to go. He's for sure through 24, which I think we knew, but he was basically like, you know, we'll see on Paris, but to me, it sounded like, or not Paris, LA in 28, he said, you know, that's interesting. And I, you know, kind of would like to, and the idea that it's in LA. He said we'll see, but what I interpreted that is, as long as he's healthy and able to still go, he's going to continue to go, which pretty awesome. And Jordan is really kind of given the template for it, is we're just seeing more longevity with these guys. And it's not just it's not just the money. It's I think they're really the money has kept them in it, but I think there's a separate thing happening where they have also figured out a way to create longevity for their careers, where with I think a combination of intelligent training, smart selective competition, and I think those things have added a lot to their careers, and that
it makes sense. I mean, that makes sense. I just don't think for a while there. I think if you look back, like way back in the 90s, a lot of guys were wrestling for a while. But then, in the era, say 2000 to 2012, nobody was. I mean, literally zero people.
Yes.
It is very interesting that people are kind of, they're making that change now. And it's great. It's great for wrestling. I mean, to have these guys around. Because one of the things you see with MMA, we talk about like star power or fan interest. Fan interest is largely driven by star power. And as MMA fighters build careers, the longer they are there, the more fans they have generally. Almost no one does a decline. It's almost always an incline. It's just how steep is the incline. And
right.
So as they get to the end of their career, they're making the most amount of money they've ever made because their interest, fan interest in them is going up. And then a lot of them get to that level. Oh, Jesus.
My gosh.
All he wants to do is battle. I told you. That was a drive-by smashing, I guess.
He just comes in and punches you in the face.
I'm on my show. Don't do it again. I'm gonna get you back. Ozzy, close the door. I'm on my show. As people stick around longer, more and more fans enjoy them. And that's the same thing with wrestlers, right? I mean, the longer Burroughs or Dake or Taylor or Snyder or these guys stick around, the more people are going to enjoy them and the more eyeballs it will bring. So I think it's really positive for wrestling because you get to know them and maybe at some point something clicks about that person. So I think it's really good for us. And I hope there's like, this is like a permanent thing where a lot of guys are sticking around wrestling for a while.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Well, I think it's time to call the show.
Cause I got punched or what?
Cause you got punched. You got inner concussion protocol. No, we gotta get ready. So we've got at 12:30, True Third start. We're live.
Oh, it's already 10:30 there, huh?
Yep. And then 2 o'clock matches start for Final X, and then at 6 o'clock round two and round three, rolling back to back. So,
all right. Have a great show, guys.
Well, yeah. Thanks, Ben. Hope you watched some of it.
I'm gonna watch the whole first round, and then second round I'll be in practice. But obviously, I'll be watching it after the
talking about practice.
We are talking about
not a game. Okay. I thought you should cancel it in honor of Final X or watch it. That's an educational course on its own.
I think we have done that before.
Okay. Well, we're going to go. We thank you guys so much for listening. Looking forward to having you tune in. I'll be on the call with Bader. We're going to have all the behind the scenes. We'll have interviews, the whole thing. Looking forward to it. It's going to give us a lot to talk about next week on FRL when we're back on Tuesday. Maybe we do a secret Friday show. We'll keep you posted on that. I'm flying back. He's going to Lake of the Ozarks. So say goodbye to JD. JD could be, this could be it. I'll shake his hand.
Shake my hand.
Don't drown.
I'm a very good swimmer.
He's a very good swimmer, but
Lake Ness Monster down there.
Oh my gosh. Ben, you be careful too. Whatever you do.
I'm not going to the Lake of the Ozarks.
I know, but within 20 minutes, your house nearly burnt down and your son punched your face. So it's just
punching face.
Things are trending the wrong way. glad you're a tough guy. All right. Thanks so much, guys. Yeah.